This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Sports Radio 929 The Game. This is The Morning Shift. Squid Billy, Bo Morgan, Michael P. Don't ask him what it stands for. Johnson.
Penix.
This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to MarkSpain.com and get a guaranteed offer on your home today. You know what? Every time I see this guy, he comes in here, I get in a really good mood. You know who I'm talking about? I'm talking about the co-owner and publisher of Dogs HQ, co-chairman of the Georgia High School Football Hall of Fame, co-host of The Steakhouse. He is Rusty Manziel. Rusty, I love seeing you. We always have good conversations. We laugh. We get in a good mood. Kind of good stuff you got for me.
Well,
today,
it should be kind of a sign. I just came into Motley Crue. She got the looks to kill. Listen to this. I'm not going to hijack this segment. The fact that everybody in Motley Crue is still alive, we all have hope. So there you go.
Yeah, including Mick Mars.
That dude's like Weekend at Bernie's. He's been dead 3 years.
Bo and I went and saw the Stones, and Mick Jagger was running across the stage at like 81, and I was like, man, good for that guy.
Yeah,
like
no
he
doubt,
has
man.
Lived it,
dude.
No, he is.
I would love for 30 for 30 on that.
Have you ever heard the story? I know you've heard. I know we're gonna get to some other stuff. Have you ever heard the story that when Skynyrd opened for the Stones?
Yeah,
and they said don't walk on the tongue.
Yeah,
and literally when they're in the middle of Freebird. Everybody but the drummer was out there on the tongue, and Van Zandt led the whole thing.
You should watch the documentary on Lynyrd Skynyrd and them making music in that hot box in Jacksonville. No, he wouldn't let them, no air condition.
Mm-hmm.
He would make them stay in there all day long and just sweat your you know what off to, like, if you want good music, we're going to do it here all day. Like, those dudes were rough now. Those were some rough crew, but
yeah.
Got a chance
ultra
to meet
talented.
Randy Owen a few years back as well, man. So,
yeah.
good people.
Yep. Well, usually I do try to bring good news.
Yeah. Mm.
This one riled me up. And I'll say this. I called Mike yesterday. And when you call another man at 9:45 on a Wednesday morning, it either goes one of two ways.
I don't like this.
Either I just saw Carmen Electra at Quick Trip or I'm in jail. I need your help.
There's
no in between.
I answered the phone, and what did I say? I said, all right, talk dirty to me. What do you got? Because I knew it's something coming up.
And after I told him this, Mike goes, dude, stop, man. So in Athens, got a chance to watch a young lady I coached for 2 years. Went to watch her play, Lindy Ray Davis, a senior at Georgia. I went and surprised her, watch her play Oklahoma State. They won. Found out some scoop while I was in town, and it didn't give me the warm and fuzzies. Like, it kind of pissed me off to think about it. The New Orleans Saints had everybody in their building there Tuesday night.
Mm.
Not only did they work out the top players at
Georgia. Yeah, you're okay. So hang on, let's go through this. Stop. So okay, yeah. They were there to work out. Malachi Starks.
Yeah.
Jalen Walker. Jalen Walker is kind of going to them, right?
Ty Ingram, Dawkins, Tate Ratledge, Dan Jackson.
They
worked them all out. Here's what I don't want to hear about.
Oh my gosh, dude.
Where is their new coach from?
Well, he was the offensive coordinator of the Eagles.
Do you think for 1 minute he didn't sit in that room and go, hey guys, it's work for Philly. They got potentially 14 draft eligible guys that we could possibly dig into. Now, the Eagle stuff, it's cute. You know, there's a bunch of Georgia guys up there. I don't want any of them dudes in the damn Saints. I can't deal with that.
It's just funny because
I can't deal with that.
It comes on the back end of us talking about the Falcons contingent at the Pro Day. And I said this to you yesterday when we kind of had a chance to chop a little bit of this up. And I told you that when Nick took over at Alabama, and I'm assuming Kirby does it the same way, he didn't want individual pre-draft workouts to be scheduled. He told NFL teams.
Because the amount of prospects y'all have.
Right, because the amount of prospects. You started getting to the 10, 12, and 14 range of guys. He was like, guys, if you want to work out my players, we will do one day a week per week.
And that's what it was, right?
Yeah. Well, the problem is that I never once witnessed another head coach or GM or anybody at any of those workouts. And you're talking about Rolando McClain and a number of first-round draft picks. The fact that Kellen Moore, being where he's from,
assistant GM,
we're talking about the Falcons contingent of 22. It sounds like we're talking about a similar number from New Orleans flying to
and then
Athens.
They go to dinner at Chuck's the night before. I had a buddy was there, and he was like, dude, all the Georgia players in here at dinner, and I was like, he didn't know who they were. And so when I started digging around, I was like, wait a minute, is that the Saints? And he's like, yeah, that's exactly who that is.
The Browns had
dinner with Abdul Carter last night in Cleveland.
Yeah, I heard about
that. So that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want Georgia players.
We
playing
don't need
for the
Athens
damn
South.
I don't want to do not in this not with that team, not in this division. No.
The best way to kind of knock that off would be if the Falcons were to draft a Georgia player maybe in the first round. So there you go. Maybe
and again, this is what I have said the whole time.
Round.
This is what I've said the whole time. And talking about that, sounds like, and I talked to Mike yesterday, sounds like Tate Ratledge is really picking up some steam.
Yeah, I've heard. I've seen some.
I like that.
He got mocked to Seattle in a second. They have two picks in the second. Jared Wilson and Tate Rattles got mocked to them yesterday.
Wow.
I got to ask you about a guy that has gained some steam too and maybe could be there in the fourth round.
Yeah.
Talk to me about Dan Jackson.
I don't think Dan Jackson goes in the fourth, but I think if you draft him, I'll say this. If Dan Jackson's drafted in the sixth or seventh round to any team in NFL, I would bet money. Stake always says, what would you bet? I will bet $500 he makes the team. Because he can play special teams.
Right.
He can tackle. The one thing I talked to guys in Athens about Dan Jackson, they knew he could run. They're like, wait till this kid runs.
Yeah.
He runs
4-4.
But go turn on the tape. Somebody will stick your face in there in open field.
We saw it Friday after Thanksgiving.
And get you to the ground. Oh, yeah, he stuck his face in there. What unbelievable hit.
Yeah.
But somebody that will take a crossing route that's 8 yards, and you're trying to limit that to 9 and not miss a tackle, and it's 21 yards. He'll take your ass to the ground.
And guess what? So, in the NFL, you don't have to be ejected.
Yes.
Most of the time.
He would in college football. So he's going to love it. You get a note, and your bank account gets you eject some money from your bank account, but you don't lose. You're not out of the game.
And one of the other defensive vets is going, hey, young buck, I'll take care of that.
Well,
don't worry about that.
The thing about that, I've said this to a couple times. If the Falcons like somebody better, I'm fine with that. If they like the kid from Marshall, take him. If you like Shamar Stewart better, take him. Let's just be right. Let's be right. And I don't want to sit here in 2 years and go, did you not look at Philly?
Yeah.
And next thing you know, we got four of them at the Saints.
That's going to
be right, man.
The conversation I always have, because I completely agree with you. I don't think they could have been right a lot of times in the past. Now, I'm hoping with the new strength coach, the new coaching regime, and everything else, that they had the pieces in place to develop. And I've said it all along. I'd have been fine if they'd have drafted Jalen Carter. I don't think Jalen Carter would be as good in Atlanta as he is in Philadelphia because I don't think that they have the same setup, and I don't think they've established the same ability in the front seven.
Same senior leadership type guys.
Mentality, practice habits, everything.
If Jalen Carter stays on this path, he's going to absolutely annihilate an NFL second deal.
Yeah. I completely agree.
I don't know if it'll be there or not, but
I can tell you right now, he is going to. I saw some rumors the other day that his next contract, because it's hard to get that elite game record. You think about it, really? It's been Chris Jones.
Yeah.
Derrick Brown's approaching that level, yes.
He's getting hidden in Charlotte.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, and he got hurt last year, but I think the defensive upgrades are going to help him. Yeah. I'm glad that they didn't get
Milton Williams.
I'm glad they didn't get Milton Williams and share.
That was close.
Thank you, New England, for that because with him and Derrick Brown together. Well, how much do you know about there's a mock that had Jahad Campbell in the first round and Alfred Collins, a DT from Texas at 6'6".
I loved Alfred Collins.
What do you know about Alfred Collins?
That's a big old Jesse.
Because he's not a guy that I don't think our audience
you know what he does?
Knows a lot about.
He makes everybody around him better because you have to count for him every play. Dude's built like a damn Winnebago. Like you're not, you know what I mean? Like you're not moving my man from the B gap.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes. Dude, if there's anything the Falcons need,
yeah,
it's that.
When you listen, without losing street cred, when you walk up behind a man and you see him look like that, that's what you want. That's what your D tackle's supposed to look like.
You talking about he's supposed to look
like
wide?
A dude looks like a damn 86 Volkswagen from behind. That's what I want.
Like Saban boat used anchor, to say, man, look like two hogs fighting in a pillowcase.
Yes. I mean, you want an anchor. And it may not be one of those guys that the stats kill you. But it's with the guy behind you. Doesn't have to worry about a damn lineman free on him.
Yeah, I don't need stats.
Because you have to count for him.
I don't need stats.
I'll worry a little bit about Jahad Campbell. Is he a tweener at 15?
Yes.
Because the guy can rush the passer. Obviously, they moved him inside, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So he had to learn to play. He's 1 year into that.
Yes.
And Georgia did the same thing with Quay Walker. It was in reverse. They take Quay Walker and move him out.
Yes.
I was a little worried that Quay Walker might end up being a tweener. 3 years later, he's a damn baller in Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know at 15. If we're 26, I have no problem. 15 worries me a little bit.
And let me expound on that. And we got to get to break here in just a second. But I'm not asking you who the best player is from Georgia in this draft. Give me what you think will end up being the best value pick. Like, who in their slot that you – like, you just talked about Tate Rallage probably being a third rounder.
I think
Dan Jackson maybe not a fourth. Who,
you're talking about 10 years from now?
Yeah. Who do you think would be the best value?
Malachi Starks. Because I think he's going to be anywhere from 22, unless somebody reaches, to 30. If he doesn't get hurt, which is always for any player, he's unbelievable in the back end, smart.
Yeah.
And Georgia had to play him at star this year. When he can get back there and see the field, the entire field, ball skills, athletically, how he's wired, mom and dad. I mean, I don't know that I would hesitate with Mykael Williams. I don't know that I'd hesitate with Jalen Walker. Those guys are going to take a lot of collisions. But when you take an elite safety and you look at the guys that last the longest, barring injury, I think a 10-year value on Malachi Starks is going to be the guy.
Why take him over Emmanuel from South Carolina? Why Starks over him? I have my reasons. I just want your reasons.
Yeah,
well, you look at him, and that guy is huge. He runs, and people are going to blast me on social. I never watched a game going, that dude's a super freak. That dude scares me.
I completely agree.
If you watch Georgia 3 years, you stay away from that guy in the middle. Stay away from that dude. Don't test him. Let's pick somebody else. You know what I mean? It's always, to me, like, who's that dude that scares the piss out of you?
Yeah.
Stay away from that dude. That was my guy.
I've seen Starks. To your point, we watched film on Emmanuel, and then I've watched Starks play live in games. He's made plays that that nobody else in college football has made in his position.
Yeah.
And he's an unbelievable playmaker.
He's just not as twitchy as I thought he was going to be on tape when I watched him.
Yeah, you got to be real careful about that. Those dudes. Listen, this guy he's a one percentile human now in his frame and all that.
Yeah.
I just never let – because I saw him on the sidelines when Georgia played South Carolina a couple years. I was like, this dude is ridiculously – where are they getting these guys?
Yeah.
He doesn't.
It's just a creative player.
Ronnie Harrison, Xavier McKinney, those dudes.
Yes.
You stay away from those.
I was going to say, I used to think that way of like the Minkas of the
Minka
world.
Minka Fitzpatrick, perfect example.
Yeah.
You know?
Next time we see you, bring some better news. How about that?
Yeah. Right.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do.
Yeah,
I'm going to make some calls.
Yeah. And
I'm going to say, guys, listen, anybody on 316 with that tag? Stay off the New Orleans tag.
All right, man.
Can we arrest some other people for a while over at 316?
Thanks for hanging out with us. Leave them in jail to May.
Appreciate it, Rusty. Thanks for hanging out with us. Hey, we got to go to break, man, because when we come back, we're going to visit with 92.9 The Game's very own Braves reporter and insider and host of From the Diamond, Grant McCauley. And I got questions, Grant. I hope you're ready, baby, because I got some Hector Neris and Grant Holmes stuff that I've been waiting on all day.
You can't handle the truth.
Stick with us here. It's the Morning Shift Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. It's the Morning Shift. Mikey P and Squid Billy hanging out on this Friday morning.
Hey, it's okay. I know that news from Rusty was troubling.
And was brutal.
It's bothering me too, but we can't think about things that haven't happened yet.
Yeah,
I tell you, control we can control, right? We can't be upset that the Saints were in Athens.
Yeah, that was very tough, tough pill to swallow. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Some other, I don't know, semi-troubling stuff I guess we'll get to is with our buddy Grant McCauley. He's on the phone right now. He's our very own Braves reporter and insider and host of From the Diamond. Grant, I think you know where we're going to go to start this conversation. So let me ask the question like this. Chris Sale, the pitch count gets high. You decide to pull him after the fifth inning. Take us inside the brain of Brian Snitker at that point. You go to Dylan Lee, you go to Hector Neris. He has to come out of the game. I just want to know what you believe to be the thought process behind some of the late game decisions for Brian Snitker yesterday.
Well, I mean, to me, it wasn't even the late game decisions. It was the middle inning decisions that you kind of have to scratch your head about.
Touché.
But that's part and parcel to where this bullpen is. And I know nobody wants to hear after, 30 days of spring training games, hey, we're trying to figure out where everybody fits. But there is some of that that is still at play. Obviously, Dylan Lee, and we'll see how this all plays out, to me is a higher leverage arm. So following Chris Sale with another lefty, I'm not sure that that's necessarily what I would have done, but I'm also not paid to necessarily make those decisions. I am, however, paid to discuss them, which is what we're going to do here. But I was more perplexed by Hector Neris in the seventh in a one-run game, not so much because I don't think that Hector Neris could be a useful member of this bullpen at some point, but because of his relative lack of spring training appearances and only three Grapefruit League games. And look, I understand what it means when, hey, so-and-so's been throwing, so-and-so's been hitting, they signed late in spring training. I don't care who you are, 99 times out of 100, and that's anecdotal, but it certainly feels real, you're just not quite up to speed yet. So it's not that Hector Neris can't be the seventh or eighth guy in the bullpen. It's why he was the second one trotted out this season that I'm kind of perplexed by when you have other arms like Deisbel Hernandez, for example, that the Braves have talked glowingly about for quite a while and said, hey, we want to give this guy an opportunity to step up and shine. Well, a one-run game with his stuff and the track record that he's had, both in the minors and his brief stint in the majors, would tell me that maybe he fits a little bit better there. We can't do anything about Craig Kimbrell not being there yet. I mean, there's reasons why, and we'll see when he factors into this whole mix. And I have to, couch all of this by saying, look, guys, it's one game, and you know that, and you've talked about that. But the frustrations are very real because it's all you have to work with at this point. And it's certainly frustrating to lose on opening day in a game that, quite frankly, the Braves had the lead in. They had the opportunity to add a little bit more. The Padres made a couple of great plays. Ozzie Albies got robbed of a home run. Looked like Drake Baldwin got robbed of at least extra bases, if not a home run. Those were some of the run prevention plays that happened in this game. So it all adds up. And what it added up to was a frustrating loss for Atlanta on opening day that seemed to be going pretty well until you got into that middle inning quandary.
Before we move on from the bullpen talk, though, I do have to ask, and it's a name you didn't bring up, the Grant Holmes sighting there in the eighth inning. I had so many questions about that. And I know that, I theorized yesterday that maybe it was a side session day or whatever you want to call it. Were you surprised at all to see Grant Holmes, especially given that you put Hector Neris out there one inning before?
A little bit, but when you kind of, you know, unpack it or spread everything out across the table and really start to examine the evidence as a side session, it makes sense because he hadn't thrown in a few days. He wasn't going to throw again for a few days. So if you can use him as a live arm, I get that. But when I saw him on the mound, I was, you know, like anybody else, I was like, oh, why is Grant Holmes in this game? But then you start to think about it a little bit more, and I guess it makes sense. I don't want to spend too much time on it, but you know, you watch the inning that he throws, and then you go back and relive what had just happened to Hector Neris and Aaron Bummer, who, you know, gave up a couple of sacrifice flies. And I know some people had wondered, well, why do you bring Aaron Bummer in there? Well, you were hoping to get a ground ball from a contact hitter like Luis Arraez and get a double play, but Aaron Bummer undid that by throwing a wild pitch. So a lot of stuff went wrong there, and we can point at Hector Neris because that's where it started, but it continued and just compounded, and the Padres, they were pretty aggressive on the base paths, and Braves pitchers, let me point that out, did not do a good job of holding them in check. And I know there's restrictions on the rules and whatnot, but I also had gotten some feedback through social media about Drake Baldwin's inability to throw these guys out. You got to have a chance. I'll point that out. And he didn't really seem to have a chance on most of these stolen bases.
And the likelihood is Drake Baldwin's played one more Major League Baseball game than those people have.
Than you or I.
Yeah, yeah. And the people on Twitter. Grant, I was actually, I mean, we've talked about the negative, and that's great, and we've covered the bullpen. I think we're good there, right? Like, we don't have to talk more bullpen.
We might.
Well, not today, but the bats yesterday, I actually felt confident about sitting here today after what I saw. In fact, enough to the fact that the defense of the Padres was absolutely outstanding in the outfield.
Yeah.
Am I wrong that they robbed multiple home runs from the Braves?
No, you're not. I mean, it looked like the Drake Baldwin was going out. And what was surprising was I thought Baldwin hit the ball better than the home run by Gavin Sheets off Hector Neris to start that disastrous inning for the Braves. And you know, the Aussie ball into that left field corner with that short wall, you know, you were just kind of hoping that thing would get out because all of a sudden that's a 3-run swing right there. And that would make a huge difference when you give up 4 runs in an inning and the lead goes away. If you have a much bigger inning, maybe that changes the complexion of who you choose. I don't know that it really would. I mean, it's the butterfly effect, and, you know, I don't know if Monday morning quarterbacking works in baseball, but we're certainly looking back in hindsight with 2020 vision, and you know, a lot of it added up to some frustrations for the Braves. But the Padres' defense, their ability to run the bases and, you know, put more pressure on the Braves' pitchers has to factor in there. And then the fact that, you know, you've got some questions about how you're going to deploy that bullpen at the very least. And they're going to have to figure that out. They're going to have to figure it out really quick because the Padres are a good team, and it's only going to get tougher on this road trip with the Dodgers on deck.
Grant McCauley joining us here on Sports Morning Shift Sports Radio 929 The Game. He is brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service, and by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com and get a guaranteed offer on your home today. Grant, you mentioned how aggressive the Padres were on the base pads. It was an issue last year where Acuna goes out in, like, what, middle of May, and he ends the season as the leading base stealer for the team. Mike has pointed that multiple times. He reminds me constantly, enough to the point where I've remembered it. How do the Braves get a little bit more aggressive on the base paths, or are they just not built to do that?
They're not built to do that, and I don't know that – it doesn't mean that somebody somewhere can't steal an important base or go first to third. That kind of stuff shows up, too. It may not be in the box score and that little tidy line that says SB, but, you know, if you run the bases well, overall that portends well for your success. However, you look at Ronald Acuna Jr. being the stolen base leader last year, that is a baffling stat when you do think, well, Michael Harris could steal 20 bases, then you realize he missed 2 months. Ozzie Albies could steal 15 or 20 bases, then you realize, oh, well, he missed a couple of months as well. So there are other guys who can run, but there aren't guys that you're asking to, you know, do some of the things that the Padres did yesterday because it's just not in their skill set. I mean, Matt Olson's not going to be stealing bases. Austin Riley, you're not going to ask to steal too many bases. Certainly not Marcell Ozuna at this stage of his career. Jared Kelnick, maybe, but outside of that, and maybe Jurickson Profar, there's not a whole lot of guys that you're looking at and thinking, okay, we need to make something happen on the base paths with their legs. So, you know, there's some situational awareness that can certainly be a part of it, but just because other clubs have done it and can do it, and just because the rules have changed, doesn't mean it's a fait accompli that you can just send anybody and they're going to have success. You still have to pick your spots. And the Braves are a club that I think, and we know from 2023, would like to be on base machines and slugging machines. And that is the strength of this lineup, is its quantity and quality in that regard. And I don't think that they put a heightened value on the stolen base outside of Ronald Acuña Jr.
All right, Grant, obviously need to turn the page at some point. I mentioned it this morning. Look, it's one of, you know, you mentioned it on the way in. It's one of 162. So focusing on today's game, it will be a late one, 9:40 tonight. I know you'll probably catch all nine innings of that, Grant, because you'll stay up and drink your coffee and check it all out. Ronaldo Lopez against Dylan Cease. Ronaldo Lopez, I know the velocity was down just a little bit throughout spring training. Talk to us about your expectations for him, not only tonight, but I guess in the coming weeks, about getting to the same points that he was at last year.
Yeah, and Ronaldo really, I think, last year, you know, proved a lot to the club, proved a lot to Braves fans, and I think proved a lot to himself. So when he came to spring training, I was down in Northport and kind of hearing from him for that first time, and he threw out that he wanted to throw 200 innings this year. I thought, what an interesting goal. I'm not, you know, 15 wins, not, you know, strike out 200 batters, all those kinds of things. It's kind of becoming an old school goal, if you will, because, you know, when we were growing up, and really, I guess, until about 10 or 15 years ago, it wasn't outside of the realm that you'd have a couple of guys on your staff that were going to throw 200 innings, maybe three. And then you were figuring out the fourth and fifth spot in your rotation. But now, if you got one guy that throws 200 innings, you've really accomplished something with your starting five, which is just the state of baseball these days. But putting all of that aside, Ronaldo, if healthy, that's going to be the goal, needs to provide quality and quantity for the Braves in this rotation. I believe that he's shown that the move to starter was certainly merited, and we'll see if he's able to follow up. Now, sub-2 ERA, all of those things, very nice last year. I don't know that needs to be the expectation at this point, but if he can be a quality start machine with this offense, I think he's got a chance to do exactly what he was doing a year ago, and that's put the Braves in position to win some games.
There you go. That's Grant McCauley giving us the bright side of this game later tonight. Grant, where can we find From the Diamond this week?
You can find From the Diamond in its two-hour time slot at 9 a.m. on Sunday. We're moving around a little bit, but I will have C.J. Nitkowski of the Braves broadcast team joining me and Scott Braun of Foul Territory TV. We'll talk about all things Braves, all things MLB for two great hours. You can find it on 92.9 The Game, 9 to 11 on Sunday morning, wherever you get your podcast, and, of course, on the Odyssey app.
There you go. Thanks for hanging out with us, man. Let's go get a dub.
Thanks, guys.
All right, that's Grant McCauley, Braves insider for 92.9 The Game and host of From the Diamond. You heard it right there. You can catch it Sunday morning. We are going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to catch up with CBS Sports reporter, host and analyst Evan Washburn. He knows a little bit about a lot of bit. We'll talk to him a little bit about maybe the NFL and some March Madness. He's front and center for some of these matchups. So stick with us here. It's Mike and Squid. It's the Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. This is the Morning Shift, Bo Morgan, alongside Michael, don't ask him what the P stands for, Johnson.
Pinnix.
And no, it doesn't. No, or you could change
the
letter there.
That's the story. You know, that you believe it if you want to.
Look, and it is Friday. And we're looking forward to the weekend because there's more NCAA tournament games. Obviously, cool. Our two teams are playing tomorrow after they won last night for the Gators and then Mike's Alabama. And there's some really good games tonight as we are joined right now by CBS Sports' Evan Washburn, who not only does stuff for the NFL, because that's where I've heard and seen him before, but he's doing the games tonight. He's going to be down there tonight for Indy for Houston, Purdue, and Kentucky, Tennessee. How you doing today, Evan?
I'm doing well, guys. Good to be with you.
All right, right off the bat, Houston-Purdue. Houston's one of the better one seeds. You know, they've been pretty good all year. But Purdue, this is the craziest stat I think I've seen, is Purdue, I believe, is the only team that recruited all five of their starters in this tournament.
Ooh.
Yeah, they are homegrown. Honestly, Houston has a lot of that as well. I mean, they do have a transfer they brought in from Oklahoma that's a starter. But what I love about this matchup is it's two programs that amidst the transfer portal world and NIL world, I mean, Purdue's the standard if that's what you're looking at, but also Houston in kind of continuing to have sort of a culture within their program where guys come in as freshmen and work their way up. So it's a bit of a throwback in that way.
Evan Washburn, CBS Sports, hanging out with us. He's working March Madness tournament, all the craziness. I do want to get to more actual team questions. I know you've been around Purdue a ton during this tournament. You've gotten to know some of those people. But I'm sitting here kind of looking at some of your highlights on your Twitter feed, the coaches you've been able to talk to, the Calipari's, the Patino's. You work a lot of sporting events. You've been around for a while. You've worked a ton of NFL stuff. You do it all. Is March Madness your favorite event? I'm just looking at some of the people you get to talk to, man, and how cool of a job that must be.
It's a great question. I don't know if it's my favorite event. It's a thing I appreciate most because of how unique it is for me and just in general, because I often describe March Madness and just basketball for me in general. It's a 4 to 5 week sprint. So I'll start with a couple conference tournaments and then do the first 2 weeks of the tournament. And it ends up being, I did the math the other day, it'll be 19 games over the course of 18 or 19 days. So it's just so many basketball games, so many practices, so many interactions with players and coaches, and to your point, some of the biggest coaches in the game. So I love that. I don't know if I could sustain it for 6 months or 9 months, and that's what I love about the NFL. The rhythm of it, the schedule lends itself more to what I would describe as a realistic lifestyle, but this is an incredibly exciting time, and especially when you're done, so Sunday evening when we wrap up here in Indy, you kind of, the dust settles and your brain starts to re-engage with society and you go, wow, that was a pretty wild few weeks.
Evan, it's kind of weird when you see Kentucky play and they don't have John Calipari on the sidelines. It's just something we haven't seen in a while. Mark Pope obviously took over. I think the other thing is weird to me is seeing Tennessee as the favorite over Kentucky. How important is Chaz Lanier for Tennessee to beat Kentucky tonight?
He's huge. I mean, he is the Dalton Connect of 2025, and their ability to bring in this within the transfer world, one player from, I wouldn't even call it a mid-major. I mean, I'd call it almost a low mid-major in North Florida and have this type of season similar to what Dalton Connect did when he came from Northern Colorado. And his ability to shoot the ball is special. They're going to need that. That was an issue in the first two meetings with Kentucky. One, they had a tough time defending the Wildcats, but they also didn't shoot the ball well. So, yes, Chaz Lanier will be huge in this game.
Evan, I want to ask you, too, about both these games that you'll be on the call for tonight. Kentucky-Tennessee, Purdue-Houston. Take the seeding out of it, to what you've learned. And I know you've been around, like I said, you've been around Purdue a lot this tournament. What you've learned from these four teams. Take the seeding out of it. Who of these four teams can actually make a run and win a national title?
Oh, Houston for sure. Houston's different, fellas. I mean, you just go to their practices. I've never been around a team, or I should say, I'll just be specific to the last 4 weeks. I haven't been around a team in the last 4 weeks, and I mentioned how many games it'll end up being, that has as much juice, energy, intensity just at a practice. I mean, it is loud. It is physical. They bring it, and you see that when you watch their games. They look different on TV. They look different in person. You can almost feel their style if you're close to the court, and now they can shoot, and that's just different than what Houston teams have been in the past. They're healthy. They've had to always overcome injuries, it appears, in previous runs here in March. They're making their six Sweet 16. So, look, Houston's everything you need to win this tournament. I think Purdue, they're going to be challenged by that style. They have the best point guard, arguably, in the country in Braden Smith. And that's, to me, the most exciting thing to watch in that second game tonight, just how he's able to handle all that's thrown at him defensively from Houston. His usage rate is through the roof. He's only been on the bench for, I think it's 32 seconds in the postseason. That includes the Big Ten tournament. So that the game within the game there is wild. And then with Tennessee and Kentucky, we touched on it. They're super familiar with each other. Same conference, played each other twice. Kentucky won both games. I think Tennessee comes into this one with a bit of an edge because they're known, like Houston, for their defense. And defensively, Kentucky shot the ball better in both games than any other team did this season. So how they do in round three in that department's really, I think, going to be the game or the decider in that game.
CBS Sports' Evan Washburn not only doing the NCAA tournament, but he covers the NFL, and I kind of want to switch gears if we can. And
yeah.
I don't want to get down this whole road of Kirk Cousins, but Cleveland.
That's what I'm going to.
Well, I'm going to leave it. I'm going to let you take us where you want to go. Cleveland is in a little bit of a different situation. They obviously have this Watson situation. He's not going to play seemingly this year with having to have the Achilles reworked on for the second time, right? In like a 3-month span. But they have Abdul Carter up there. They went to dinner with him. They're also going to meet with Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders and have private workouts. What do you think they end up kind of doing in what you've heard with the, not only the draft but the quarterback situation? Because a lot of people here in this city are banking on that being what happens with Cousins after the draft. I'm not so sold on that.
Yeah, I keep thinking of that scene, and I don't know if your viewers or listeners are too young, but like that scene in Braveheart when Mel Gibson's saying, hold, like they're just holding. They're waiting. And that's hard for fans and us on this side of it to deal with, because we want resolution. We want clarity. And I just don't think that seems to be something that front office, that organization right now in Atlanta is interested in doing, because they view it as a situation, while it's wild when you look at the salary disparity, all those things, the money owed, that they're better off holding what they have in Kirk Cousins until, one, a team, whether it's Cleveland, whoever, is desperate, and then they can take advantage. And I kind of respect that. I think patience is not rewarded as much, or celebrated, I should say, from those of us on the outside, because it's not as interesting to talk about, but that's kind of how I view it. I mean, to me, and look, I'm like trying to stay engaged in football and draft and all those things while I'm trying to remember names and numbers of all these rosters and teams that I didn't watch all season long. But it seems like Cam Ward's going to Tennessee. That seems to be a consensus. And then the Shedeur thing, I don't know. It's something about Shedeur in Cleveland doesn't seem to add up. So I do think that if they're thinking, all right, well, we've got Kirk is something we can try and attain down the road after the draft, this being Cleveland, then that would make some sense. And obviously all the things you guys know, and his relationship with Stefanski and all those kind of things lining up well.
Hanging out here with Evan Washburn on the morning shift. He works all things CBS Sports, including the tournament games tonight. Evan, I want to stay with football, but I'm going to ask you kind of more of a professional question. A friend of our show, one of our guests we have on all the time, is Charles Davis. It was kind of announced, I guess, earlier in the week or last week that he's going to be the lead college football analyst now. Moving forward, I guess, for CBS. I love Charles Davis. We love having him on the show. Talk about kind of the future with Charles Davis at the helm there in that booth.
So excited for CD, and you guys are right. And what I love to say is that everything that he presents, whether it's on your show or when you guys are hanging and talking, that's who he is. I mean, like, he is as genuine a dude and as good as they come. And I think I learned so much in terms of preparation and commitment to the craft from him over the course of the 4 years. I guess it was four, maybe five seasons that we worked together. And the fact that he's going to be able to bring that to the college game and be the lead. And look, I think that stuff, it is what it is, whether you're on the A crew, B crew. I try not to spend too much time on it, but there is something to it that he gets to be the lead guy. So I'm super thrilled for him. I think it's going to be awesome. And I'm just excited that he gets this as a guy who's been doing it for a while, and now he's got this whole new chapter that he can embark on, which in our business, as you guys know, what you hope for is longevity. And now CD is going to continue that run.
Well, you couldn't say it better. That's absolutely spot on about CD from my experiences. Hey, have you hit up St. Elmo yet?
It's funny. A couple guys went there last night. But again, and I hate to sound like a dork, but I'm just like in my hotel room trying to catch up on press conferences and notes. I think once I get through tonight, then it feels normal because you're just doing one game. But like, you go from eight games in round one to then four, and now you got four teams again. So it's just, I've been in a little bit of a routine here that doesn't include a lot of going out. But we do have an extra night here, so maybe that'll be our Saturday plan.
Yeah, it is hard work, but I don't think people realize you put in a ton of work to do that, Evan.
No doubt about it, man. I know it's been...
It's hard to call it work, but it's a fun way to earn a living, I'll say that.
You're preaching to the choir, man. I know you've had a busy couple of weeks, so I appreciate you carving out some time with us, buddy.
You got it, guys.
That's Evan Washburn, CBS Sports. He'll be on the call for Kentucky, Tennessee, and Purdue, Houston tonight. You can catch Kentucky, Tennessee at 7:39 on TBS, and Purdue, Houston will follow that one up at 10:09 Eastern time. So appreciate him hanging out with us, man. It's going to be a great weekend of sports, a great weekend of college basketball. The Braves obviously playing late tonight. I know Atlanta United take the field tomorrow. I'll be locked into that one after the birthday party shenanigans. I got to get 10. And, of course, the Hawks this weekend as well.
Yeah, so. We got Elite Eight games. We got Sweet 16 tonight, then Elite Eight games all weekend.
Yeah.
What we got? Got a little Martinsville NASCAR.
It's a
huge sports weekend. I'm excited. I also got yard work to do.
Ooh. Ugh. Same. Make sure you stay plugged in to 92.9 and our sister station WAOK all weekend. They've got a lot of tournament action as well. That's going to do it for us here on the morning shift. You'll get Steakhouse with Rusty coming up next. Until next week, guys, make sure you
stay cool, Atlanta.